Welcome to Catch the Fire Toronto's weekly sermon podcast. This message was recorded live at Catch the Fire Church in Toronto, Canada. We hope you enjoy it.
Thank you everyone for coming today. Some of you guys knew that I was preaching and you still showed up. That means you like what I say, or not, if you're not here today. Anyways, it's an exciting day. It's an exciting time to be alive, and that's because you are alive. When I was invited to talk about destiny in this month, this is a message that really awakens something in me. Because I believe the body of Christ is missing out on the part of living the fullness of what God created them to be. And I want to talk today about living a life worthy of your purpose. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey you, do you know your purpose? Here's the thing, if you don't know your purpose, you don't know what kind of life you're supposed to live. Am I right? So today I would love to talk about what that looks like and what God has actually called you to do and to live and to be here on earth. I believe that we're not supposed to just get by in life and allow life to take control of us, but I believe that we're supposed to take control and be intentional. And all of us, we're builders of the kingdom, and we're here to leave a legacy. Even for after we leave this earth, there's a legacy that we left behind, okay? My heart is for you to realize today and leave this place so inspired to do life well that is worthy of your purpose. You know, a couple weeks ago, I wanted to take Mel out on a date, and I called my father-in-law and I said, hey, would you like to come and watch Lara for the evening? I want to just go on a date night with Mel. And he was like, yeah, sure, that's no problem. He walks in the house and he was like, oh, here it is. Like, why don't you take my car? Which, by the way, before I married Mel, there was always that like, huh, you want my daughter, eh? You know, and then we got married and, you know, you kind of get close. But let me tell you something. If you want to drive your father-in-law's car, you just should give them a grandkid. Grandkids just soften their heart. They don't think about anything else. As soon as they see their grandkid, they're just like, yeah, take my car, take whatever. Just kidding. But my father-in-law retired and he bought himself a really nice car because he's like, hey, I worked my entire life and I wanna drive a nice car. And myself, I love fast cars. I love fast motorcycles. That's kind of a passion of mine. And he bought himself a Dodge Challenger, which has the shaker package. So if you're a car guy or a car woman, you know what I'm talking about. Basically, I'm talking about a V8 engine with 374 horsepower, right? Here's the thing. I've taken that car out before, but I never really used the fullness of the car it was made for. Until then, for some reason, my father-in-law is excited to show me. He's excited to show me some buttons that you can press in the car and it activates the fullness of the power of the car. Which that was interesting in itself. As I'm like, are you encouraging me to go fast with your car? I'm gonna give you another grandkid. Oh wait, it's on the way, so. And I get in the car and he's like, hey, just look on your right. And you see a sport button? And I'm like, yes. He's like, okay, press that. And I press it, and basically the computer is telling me that the suspension is being adjusted, that the traction control is turned off, and basically is activating the full power of the car. So I stop at a red light, and I'm like, all right, Mel, tonight's gonna be an adventure, and get ready. So lights come green, and I just took off, and it was the most beautiful thing on earth. The back is just going crazy. Well, you have so much control of the car. And in a matter of seconds, you're like at 100 kilometers an hour. It's beautiful. I'm not encouraging you to speed. I'm encouraging you to use your cars properly. Now, I have a family car. And if I use my car to be a racing car, I'm going to lose. Because I'm not using my car for its purpose. My car is supposed to fit a stroller in the back. It's not supposed to race. Right? His car is the opposite. If I try to fit a stroller in the back, I have to cut the stroller in half because it doesn't fit. But what I want to tell you today is if we understand the perspective of the car, and I did, I was able to use it to its full power. So Dodge created that car to go fast. Once I understood the specs and all the information, I was able to use for what it was created for. Now, if you don't know what you're created for, you're missing out on fulfilling the purpose that God has in your life. And perspective actually dictates behavior. If you don't know the Father's perspective of you, you basically won't know exactly how you should behave. So we need to tune in with the full purpose of what God created us in order for us to live a life worthy of our purpose. All right, I would like to invite you to open in Genesis chapter 1. I was talking to my wife about this message, and she is brilliant. She just gathers so much information, and she was like, oh, take a look at this. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. God blessed them, say blessed, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule, say rule. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So right here in this passage, we see a glimpse of what God created us for. He's literally like, I'm creating you to rule and subdue on earth. Basically, if you look at different meanings of subdue, it's basically governing, leading, getting the best out of it. So basically, God is like, you're here to lead and take the best out of this earth. Help the creation so you get the best out of it. Isn't that cool? I thought that was super exciting. All right, chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, in this other passage, he's basically saying, you basically have a part to play. I've blasted you. I've called you to rule over the earth, but now you gotta work it. You gotta do your part. And if you have a farming background, you know that you gotta work the land so you get the best out of it. In this context, we basically have in one side the kingship calling in our lives, which is for us supposed to lead creation and supposed to lead earth and rule it. And on the other side, we have a priesthood calling, which is our part on serving under God and fulfilling what he created us for. Are you with me? Awesome. So we basically have these two parts, and we need to understand that we gotta do our part. We have our part to play. We gotta really be intentional with what God created us and understand the perspective, his perspective of us, so we can then change our behavior to fulfill our purpose on earth. Then, if you understand this, now you're able to actually make changes in your life in order to fulfill the purpose. Because how many of you guys know that the discipline without purpose, it will fail? You know, how many of you guys start a New Year's resolution diet? Everyone, come on. It's like, yeah, day one, I'm gonna do it. You know, but and we set up goals, but we sometimes forget to set up the purpose and the why we're doing it. Therefore, 8 days later, you actually failed because you're driving home, you're super hungry, you forgot to prepare food, and then you ordered a nice meat lover pizza, and that was it. Your whole diet goes out of the window. Now, if you have a purpose, you're like, no, I'm hungry, I'm starving, but I have a purpose. I have a why I'm doing this diet. It's for me to take care of myself. It will help you to then change your behavior so you can fulfill the discipline that you have set up in your life. Now, here's the thing. Outside of church, non-followers of Jesus are doing life, and sometimes they're doing life really well. They're doing life better than we do sometimes. And the thing is, non-followers of Jesus, just like us, were also created to rule and to govern over the earth. There's no separation between that calling on our lives and their lives. But sometimes I wonder, I'm like, why are they doing so well? You know, and I get to sort of contemplate around that. Oh my goodness, God actually created them to do the same thing God created me to do. And for some reason, they go far beyond to actually master the art of what they were called for. For example, right now I'm reading a management book, and it's not written by a Christian person, it's written by a non-Christian person. But that lady, she spent her life just mastering the art of management. And now she's inspiring me, right? She's inspiring me so I can do well as too. So we can actually get inspired by other people and actually learn with other people, so in order we also get to do that well. Are you guys with me? I remember being at the I went to Boston to watch a hockey game with some family, and at the end of the game we went up to a rooftop restaurant. It was awesome. It was late at night in Boston. It was just, you can see the entire city, and we're there just chilling in the lounge. And then these musicians just walk in, and they start playing. They start playing their instruments, and literally Mel and I are just like, oh my goodness, isn't this inspiring? It was so awesome that I could see a glimpse of what they were made for in that moment just coming into play. I could see heaven and earth just meeting them. And it was just like they actually represented their purpose. They were like, I'm created for this, but I'm going to do well. And it was beautiful. However, they had a part to play in it. They went to university. Basically, I found out later, we were talking to some of them. They went to, they were actually in a musical university in Boston. And they're actually studying for years to master their ability to play instrument because they felt called to do it. Now, for some reason, sometimes Christians are perhaps not so intentional with mastering the purpose that we are called to do here on life. And what I believe it is, I believe that sometimes we just sit in our chair and we say, God called me to rule over the earth and to lead this people and to lead earth and absolutely inspire. But we stop there. Perhaps sometimes we have a false responsibility on God that He's actually the one that is going to do it. And we forget that we have a part to play. We forget that we actually need to put the work in so we can do it well. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it just talks about Jesus coming and restoring the original plan that God had for us. So if you open Revelation chapter 4, really quick. Sorry, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. You have made them, which is us, to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Come on, man. Jesus came in order to restore the original mandate of which God created us to be. Now, if people that are not following Christ are doing life so well, how come we can do life so well and even much better? If, because we have the ability to partner with our Maker, and we have the ability to actually influence and be the best that we are called to be. We got to start listening to the Holy Spirit. We got to start listening to Him in the moments where He's like calling us to do our part. We got to start listening to Him in the moments where He's inviting us to partner in life with Him in order for us to do well. Every once in a while, Mel and I just feel an urge just coming from inside of us. Just kind of that call of the Holy Spirit calling us for a greater purpose. But it's also calling us for a greater responsibility on how we run our life. Purpose doesn't come without responsibility. Purpose comes with a responsibility. And you are the one that is actually going to decide, am I going to do this well or I'm just going to sit and watch? And sometimes those urges that we get, it incorporates all our well-being. It's not only, hey, are you praying? Are you spending time with God? But it's also like, how are you taking care of your body? Why are you not going for a run? Hey, what I called you to do, you gotta be fit for it. In order for you to do well. Hey, your finances, how are you gonna be absolutely an influencer in finances if you don't know how to do a budget? And you're in debt, and you're like all those things, and you're not working intentionally to fix it. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has those moments because, oh man, he's so loving that he's like, what is ahead of you is so big that you, the way you are right now, perhaps you're gonna crumble. You're not gonna be able to do it well. But I have called you to do it well. I have called you to be a greater influencer. I have called you to be an inspiration to the people around you, in your work, in your school, in your neighborhood, in the gym, or wherever you are. I have called you to be an inspiration. I have called you to be inspiring. And I believe that if everyone in this room decides to be inspiring to others, how cool would that be? Where people actually will come to you and say, please tell me about your Jesus because you are so inspiring that I want to do life like you do. Please tell me. They're going to beg for us to preach the gospel because we are being inspiring in everything that we do. Now, come on, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit and understand His perspective of us. God, our Father, He has created us to rule over the earth, but He's also giving us the responsibility to work it. How are we filling our time? How are we spending our time? Are we wasting our time on whatever, on Netflix, and being the kings of a show and being like, yeah, I've watched the whole thing, it's awesome! I love it, but that shouldn't be everything that I do. There is a time and place for it. Oh man, how awesome would it be if people walk away from you and they're so excited. They're full of hope. They're full of dreams. And you haven't even preached the gospel. You're just being inspiring in an area that you feel that God has called you to be. I remember the CEO, the owner of a company, called me in for the restaurant. We were sitting for a meal. And he's basically offering me a job. And let me tell you, the only reason I didn't accept that job was because the Holy Spirit was inside of me and said, this is not for you. But up until that moment, the guy was so inspiring. He was a dreamer. He's like, his currency was not money. His currency was influence. His currency was like, I'm going to leave a legacy. He's not talking about money. He's talking about making a difference. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'll come do whatever for you because I want to be around you. And I left that place, I picked up the phone, and I'm like, Mel, oh my goodness, this guy is amazing. I feel so inspired. I feel so full of hope. Imagine if that's you and me in our workplace. And you can sit there and be like, yeah, but there's too many of them, and too, you know, it's so little of us, whatever. You start picking up the slack because you're a leader, and you're called to make a difference in this earth. I don't mean to come across angry. I'm not angry. I'm passionate. We gotta make a call. We gotta make a decision. Is life gonna control who we are and what we do? Or are we actually going to make a step towards the purpose that God has created us for? Are we living a life worthy of the call? Worthy of the purpose that God has given us? And each purpose, we are made different from one another. You're singing to a person next to you who is made with a very different purpose than you were. Therefore, we gotta be inspired by people, but we don't need to look like them. In business school, we learned something about, it's called benchmark. And it's basically when you look at someone's procedure and you're doing so well what you're doing that I want to learn from that and apply where I am. So for example, Formula One, if you watch racing cars, Lewis Hamilton, oh, the guy's amazing. After Senna, dude is a legend. Anyways, Senna is a Brazilian, anyways. A whole nother preach for another day. Formula One, basically these guys, they were like, we need to get better at pit stop. And if you watch Formula One, it's fast. Everyone have their responsibility. And if you mess up what you're doing, you messed up the whole thing. Because people are not saying, oh, excuse me. It's literally like, when I turn, you're supposed to be gone. Because I'm coming with the wheels, I'm coming with everything. It's crazy fast. And they were like, man, we're missing something. Do you know what they did? The manager and the whole operational team of the pit stop, they actually went into a surgery room because they heard that in that hospital, they're the one, they deal so well with surgeries, and so many people are working in the room, and each one of them has a function, and it needs to be like on the dot really well, that they actually went in and the whole team is just surrounding the medical staff and they're just watching it. And they're like, we need to learn with the procedure that you're doing. Like, we need to learn with you. Isn't that awesome? And basically, they learned a good procedure and they went and applied where they were at. Why am I saying that? It's because I don't want to inspire you to be me. I want to inspire you to be you. I want to inspire you to fill the purpose that God has in your life. I'm not called as John and Carol to lead a revival like they did for 25 years. I'm called to be myself. I'm called to with a purpose. However, they have inspiring things in their lives that I can learn from. Are you guys with me? Yes, awesome. Not all of us are supposed to be the president, prime minister of Canada. However, sometimes if he's a great leader or she, we can learn something from them because they're leading a country. But not all of us are gonna sit in office and gonna lead a country. Because each one of us have a purpose, and we need to start taking ownership of our purpose, learning with the people around us so we perhaps can do well what we're called to do. And that to say, I normally love surrounding myself with people that inspire me in a different way. Mel and I, we normally ask some certain people to go out, and it's for sure it's for relationship and all that, but sometimes I just want to hear. I'm like, man, you have something that is so inspiring and I want to learn from you. And I sit there, I'm like, okay, and why do you do this? Okay, that's awesome. And how? Oh my goodness, that's amazing. And I'm just sucking. I'm sucking information. I'm just sucking because I want to learn. I want to surround myself with people that can influence me so that I can influence others with my purpose. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter is addressing the leaders in the church, and he's talking about us using the gifts that God has given us and stewarding the gifts well. And I believe that if our maker, our creator, has told us, I bless you for you to rule over the earth, I believe that that is a gift. And I believe we should take that very seriously. If we want to see a church that is fully alive and awakened, this message is to awaken something in your heart, something that perhaps is sleeping or not, or maybe you're thriving, maybe you're doing so well, and I'm just like sitting behind you and I'm like, yeah, go for it, keep on going, keep on running. Leave a legacy behind. But I want the church to awaken up. Wake up so we are ready, you know, to leave a legacy, to be an influencer, to be inspiring in everything that we do. So people are calling us and wanting to sit down with us. Imagine if people all over the world is like, oh my goodness, there's this group of people in Toronto. We need to sit down with them because they are amazing. It's just everyone who I talk in that church, they're so inspiring. I don't know what they're doing there. Well, let me tell what they're doing. They understood the perspective that God created them to be, and they understood the responsibility as well so they can fulfill the purpose. So here's my question for you. How are you stewarding the purpose in your life? How are you living your life? How are you making decisions in your life? Are you just letting life decide it for you, or are you actually making decisions that are making you grow? You know that urge of the Holy Spirit that I told you earlier? Sometimes I actually think the Holy Spirit is giving me a nudge and saying like, hey, grow up. You need to grow up for what's coming because you're not ready for it. Do you know what I'm saying? Therefore, we understand that God has a promise for us and He has blessed us, but I gotta do my part. I gotta do my part because I play a part in this whole thing. It's my responsibility. It's my job. So church, we gotta get up and just go for it. Come on, leave a legacy. We gotta decide to do this well. Let's not just let life take, you know, just pass by. Come on, let's do it well. In your job, in your school, moms, if you are home, be an inspiration to other moms. Dads, love your family well so it's inspiring to other dads. You know what I mean? Like just everything in life, how can you do better? My question to you today is, are you growing towards your purpose? Are you today getting ready for your purpose? What are you doing? Are you picking up books and actually learning different ways and better ways to do things? Are you going for a jog in the morning? Are you having your devotional? And I want us to be careful because as Christians, perhaps we just look at the spiritual side, but the Bible, the Word of God says that we are mind, body, and spirit. Therefore, each one of them are equally important. If I take care of my body, it's equally important as I take care of my spirit. If I take care of my soul, it's equally important of taking care of my body. Are you guys with me? God is speaking to our well-being, so we are actually accelerating and getting ready to steward the gift, the biggest gift that He has given us besides salvation. And it is the gift to just unlock the purpose in our lives wherever we are. What about we stand? And there is a benefit on knowing the purpose. Like I said before, you can set up disciplines, you can set up goals, but if there's no purpose, you're gonna fail. And to be honest, that purpose you need to hear from God. Each one of you. And today, purposely, I'm not gonna call you forward because I don't want the rest of the church to disconnect. This is a call for you wherever you are right now. You need to hear from the Holy Spirit what is your purpose so you can start changing your behavior. So you understand the perspective that the Father, our Creator, our Maker, made us for. The Holy Spirit is whispering, and it's like there is a sport button right there, and He wants you to press it so you are unleashed to your full destiny. But you gotta play a part in it. We cannot be lazy. So Holy Spirit, right now in this place, we ask that You will come and speak into our hearts right now. Father, we need, each one of us, we need to hear from You. What is our purpose here on life? And Holy Spirit, I give You permission to come and seal the truth of who we are in us. And we give You permission to come and challenge us on how we're doing life. We give You permission to come and challenge us on how we're taking care of our bodies, on how we are taking care of our spirit, how we're taking care of our soul. We give You permission to come and nudge and tell us, hey, you need to grow up and mature on this. Do better. Father, I believe that each one of us in this place are called to be an influencer, even if it's a one specific area in our lives. And today I want to blast that. I want to bless the qualities and the gifts that you have given to each one of us in this place. And right now I want to give you a moment, because I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear about the dreams. I want you to hear about just that. You know, when God was creating you, He was looking you right at you and He was like so excited. And as I was preparing this message, I'm like, God, share that excitement when you were making us, when you were dreaming for us. Just share that excitement so He comes and awakens something inside of us that shakes our body, shakes our bones. But He lights us absolutely on fire and passion to fulfill the purpose that we have here on earth. So right now, Holy Spirit, come and speak. Come and speak to each one of us. Speak the purpose that you have called us to do. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. God is going to be calling you into some really journaling moments where you're going to start writing down the things that God has for you. And I want to encourage you to, even today, go home or tonight before you go to bed, just write it down, because that is what is going to keep you alive and going. I believe in each one of you guys. And when I say it's an exciting time to be alive, it's because you are alive. It's because you're here. I totally believe in that. And I believe that you can make a difference wherever you are. You can be an inspirational to creation and to others. In the name of Jesus. And everyone says,
amen. We hope you encounter God and were inspired by this message today. To watch video of this message and other messages from Catch the Fire in Toronto, visit catchthefire.tv. Catch the Fire has churches, schools, events, missions, and media all around the world. To find out more, visit catchthefire.com.